Yes. Okay. We're going to talk about a mitzvah that we know very well, probably, but a very interesting detail of that mitzvah, and hopefully something that we can learn from it. So the pasuk says, Parshas Tazria, this year, we're Zocha again, as usual, the leap year, not Tazria and Mitzora together, but Tazria by itself and Mitzora by itself. So Mitzora is much more about the concept of Tzaras. Tazria starts with other halachos first, before it gets to Tzaras eventually, but it talks about the tumah that comes to a woman after she has a baby. It talks about the mitzvah we're going to talk about now, bris mila. It talks about a lot of tumah vatara stuff. So, but the way beginning is the mitzvah of bris mila, and the Torah starts as follows in Parshas Tazria. By Daber Hashem el Moshe Lemor, Daber al Bnei Yisrael Lemor, Isha ki Tazria v'aldas zachar. If a woman has a baby, she has a boy, v'tamashi v'asyavim ki meni das devosat tidma. Fine, you have a baby, 7 days of what's called tumas yoledes, and then what happens? Ubayom hashmini yimol besar olasam. What happens on the 8th day? You should circumcise the child. Good. Funny. We know this already, no? How do we know it already?
Avram.
Right, Avram had a bris mila at 8 days. In fact, Hashem commands Avram to have a bris mila at 8 days, and he tells him, I should have brought the source, he tells him that all of his children and grandchildren, everyone's going to have a bris mila at 8 days. So why do I need Ubayom Hashmini Yimol B'Sholos? So why do I need this pasuk here now?
Well, do we get any mitzvahs before this? That wasn't when, we don't have other commandments to do mitzvahs earlier in the Torah.
Good, meaning that when Avram is told,
he's
what?
Commanded, that doesn't mean it's a 630.
Good, so the fact that Avram gives his child a bris mila at 8 days old, and that all of his children and grandchildren all did that, including the people who were in Mitzrayim. So that doesn't mean it's yet a mitzvah for us. It was given before Matan Torah. So the fact that there was a concept of bris mila for Jews before, for the Jewish people before Matan Torah, does not give me a mitzvah of bris mila. The mitzvah is commanded now, in this moment. Yeah, Jess, what are you going to say?
This is also compared to Avraham, because obviously he was older when he did that, but this is tying the bris mila to the childbirth, and not just that, but it's tying it to like the tuma of the woman.
Right.
So if we're talking about the tuma of the mother who gave birth, why are we then giving
a mitzvah?
A bris mila.
We may be just giving, like, we may just go, it's a good question, and there are actually some conversations about that, and some Nachron Rishonim about that question. But presumably, the simple shot is, it's, like, chronological. Like, what happens? Like, there's a baby, and then we have 7 days, and then on the 8th day, we're going to have a bris mila. And in fact, after that talks about the tuma if you have a girl, which is 14 days. Uh-huh. Which all this is not halachic lemaisa anyways, today. But
going to really bog you down today.
No, it's fine. No, it's good. But I'm just, there is a conversation, actually. I saw in some of the Rishonim, there is a conversation about connecting in some way, like the finishing of the tumah allows the time of the baby to have a bris. Like there is like some conversation about that, actually. But I want to zone in on something specific about this, about the 8th day. Okay? Take a look at the Balaturim. The Balaturim, as we've seen at times before, oftentimes will send us to gematrias or other interesting ways of teaching us halachos, okay? The Baal Turim existed way before there were any chassidim, right? Way before the chassidim didn't exist yet, right? So the Baal Turim writes the following, Ubayom HaShmini, two very interesting points. Number one, Ubayom HaShmini, Pasuk Zeh Yesh Bo Tevot Ve'otiot Kamo Sheba Pasuk Vayachulu. Okay, what does that mean? This pasuk has tevot, are words, the number of words. Ve'otiot are letters. Like in the pasuk of Vayachudu Breishis Beis Aleph. What in the world does that mean? Take a look at source number 3. This one I've never seen with the Malaturim. I've never seen this type of connection between two different ideas. Okay, look at the word. It's source number 3. You're familiar with this pasuk. Vayachulu Hashemayim v'aretz v'chol tzvaham. Right? This is from Kiddush, right? Okay, right after Hashem creates the 6 days of creation, the 7 vayer vayokar yom hashishi, and then the next pasuk, which is the beginning of the next parak, is Vayachulu Hashemayim v'aretz v'chol tzvaham. Hashem finished creating the land and the sky and all of its, you know, stuff. And that's not a specific translation. Stuff. The word, the pasuk Vayachulu Hashemayim v'aretz v'chol tzvaham has how many words? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay? B'yom HaShemini Yimol B'Sharolato. has how many letters? How many words? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay, come on, that's not so exciting, right? Okay, but ready?
Yeah.
How many letters are in the pasuk Ubayom Hashmini Yimom Basor Lotzo? Want to count? Ready? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23. Okay? And the next one, you can count it. I counted it before. It's 23. Okay? Okay?
So it has nothing to do with anything.
Yeah. So what?
Same.
So who cares, right? So who cares, right? Like, oh, it's so exciting. Is it exciting? I don't know. What does it mean? Okay. Lomar says the Baal Tur, back to Baal Tur, source number two. Ping-ponging all around. Shemila Docha Shabbos. V'yom ha-shemini yimo b'sor alato has the same number of words and letters as the pasuk v'yachulu ha-shamayim v'aretz v'chot tzvam that on the seventh day Hashem had finished.
Are there any other connections like that? Because
still don't know what
happened. Sounds so close.
You can Google it.
No, so, but like because there's the same number of words and letters, one trumps the other.
Good question. Good. Don't worry. We're not done. Like we have not closed the book because of this volatorum. But I saw it, I was like, okay, interesting. Okay. And now by the way, take a look at the next pasuk, the next one in volatorum. Ubayom Hashemini Yimo Basar. Okay, one that whole those words ubayom hashmini yimo b'sar b'gematria shakol hayom yiyeh kasher lamul. That the whole day, the whole eighth day, is kasher for a bris milah. You don't have to bris milah in the morning. You can have a bris milah the whole day, even later into the afternoon. In fact, my bris milah, which was in Be'er Sheva, took place in the afternoon. Why? Apparently, the minhag was it was cooler. I was born in June, so it was very hot. And so they always have a bris milah in Be'er Sheva in the afternoon, with a little cooler out. Because you have the whole day for a bris milah. Fine. But, so what? Good. Cool. Interesting. So, the Yom HaShemini Afilu B'Shabbos, though, does not come only from a Baal Turim with some interesting connection between letters and number of words. But it actually comes from Gemara. Gemara in source number 4 writes, Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Amar Kra Bayom, meaning Bayom HaShmini. The Gemara asks the question, how do I know that a bris milah can happen even on Shabbos? Bayom HaShmini, Bayom Afilu B'Shabbos. Why? What is significant about the word Bayom? Or what could have been, oftentimes the Gemara notices extra words that wouldn't have been necessary otherwise in the Pasuk. But because they're there, now they're extra, they're there for a drasha. Or they're there to be used to make some type of drasha. So if you look at the pasuk, back in source number 1, right? So what did we say? We said the seventh day, etc., 7 days of Tumah, etc. And then uvayom hashmini yimo b'sar lato. We were just talking about numbers of days, right? 7 days, shivas yamim. And now bayom hashmini yimo b'sar lato. What could it have written if it wanted to be super concise and efficient? What could the pasuk have said? Ubashmini, right? We do that all the time, right? We have that by the Eved Ivri, right? That he works for 6 years. Ubashvi'i yetzei lechofshi chinam, the pasuk says, right? Bashvi'i, why bashvi'i? I didn't say by shanat hashvi'it. Bashvi'i, why? Because he already mentioned shanim in the pasuk before. So here, it could have easily said, ubashmini yomor b'shar lato. It didn't say that. It says bayom hashmini. Oh, why bayom? The extra word bayom to teach me afidu b'shabbos. Okay. So does that mean that Chazal looked at the word Bayom and said, oh, that must mean Shabbos? Not necessarily. It might mean that they had a Mesorah, right? That Moshe Rabbeinu taught them that a bris milah can happen even on Shabbos. And now we've got to find out where in the Pasuk we can darshan that out from. And that happens a lot of times. They knew already. Rabbi Yochanan didn't come up with it then. That wasn't when they first started giving bris milah on Shabbos. They were doing that already for thousands of years. But they used the extra words in the Pasuk to darshan out where we learn that from. That's the Gemara's drasha to know that a bris milah can happen even on Shabbos.
The gematria. What's the gematria?
Yeah, I don't know.
Really?
But the gematria?
Yeah.
I don't know if the Baal Turim brings these gematrias to teach us the halacha. We don't usually learn halachas from gematrias. But the Baal Turim is like fun. I don't think he teaches it as fun. You know, there are things I think that he thinks you learn from the gematrias. And there are a lot of gematrias that are meaningful there. But in he does that a lot. But I don't think the Baal Turim also knew the Gemara and knew already that's Afilu B'Shabbos. But he uses this gematria to and again, and the rule that a bris milah can be done any time during the day is also not something that he came up with. It's a Gemara already that tells us that. But he finds hints to these things in the Pesukim. I think he thinks that's meaningful to find it there. Fine.
Okay. Did you bring up the Gemara that says that
Kol Hayom?
No, that you only have within natural births on Shabbos.
So actually we're gonna look at a couple of things here also. Yeah, take a look at Rabbi Bechai also.
Because Gabi was born on Shabbos, a C-section, so he was.
Gabi was
right.
Yes.
So it wasn't 7 to go.
I won't say how. Whatever. At some point, I once got a phone call. I one time got a phone call from somebody. It was a Friday afternoon. And they said to me, remember Corona, really important. I know all the secrets. Yeah. The person called me and they said, so I need to know. Yeah, whatever. It pays me back.
Yeah, so, I don't have
you don't want to know the secrets. No. So the person calls, yeah, it's not worth it. Person calls me and says, but they didn't say like my wife's a labor. The guy says, what time does this baby need to be born? For me not to have a Shabbos bris.
And what was a girl?
So they knew it was a boy. They knew it was a boy. So I said, hold on a second. I pulled up my Zmana map. I'm like, you have until 5:36 or whatever, you know, by Shkia. You're good? We're not going to talk about that 1 second. But you got to know, right? Because if it comes out on Shabbos, then it happens on Shabbos.
My doctor knew that I needed a Tuesday birth, not a Wednesday birth, because of my lawyer's availability. And they're like, go here! Tuesday birth! And we made it.
I opened up such a can of worms with this, Shiloh. I know, yeah. I'm sorry. Okay, fine.
I'm not going to get more
first. I'm going to show you a couple of, because there's a lot of questions about this. But I want to show you the Rebbe Bechaya, who touches on some of the details, but it's not actually, you'll see. I have something specific I want to get to, but it's interesting, right? It's interesting. Good. Source number 5. Ubayom hashmini yimo. So the Rabbeinu Bechaya goes through a few of these points, which I just think are interesting to note. Not our main topic, but I think it's interesting. He says, yimo bayom afilu b'Shabbos. So first of all, points out what the Gemara says, that bayom hashmini, even if it's on Shabbos. Okay? V'davka mila vada'it. Okay, this is very important. Because that person called me and said, by what time do I have to have a baby to know that we're having a bris on Shabbos? I said, well, it's kind of complicated. If the baby's born before Shkia, then you're for sure having a bris on Friday if the baby's healthy. If the baby's born well after Shkia, let's say 30, 40 minutes after Shkia, so then you're for sure having a bris on Shabbos. If it's born 5 or 6 minutes after Shkia, right, then we're going to be talking about Sunday. Right? Why? Right? Dafka mila vadaid. It's got to be for sure that's that day. Kigon shenora lel Shabbos or Yom Shabbos. Baby's born at nighttime or the day, which is for sure Shabbos. Aval milas suffik. Right? If the baby, it's not the suffik whether they're having a meal or not. Suffik what day it was. Kigon shenora erev Shabbos ben hashmashos. Right? Today, you know, this last Shabbos it was 7:18, whatever. So 7:25. Right? Or 7, whatever, 15 minutes after Shkia. B'shashu suffik yom suffik laila, or Shabbos day after Shkia already, right? During Shal Shudas, right? So then we're not, right, it's not yet Tzeis Kol Chavim. Ein man loso ela ad yom rishon shehu asiri. You're going to wait until Sunday, right? Why? Because again, if it's not sure, if it's the 8th day, bris on Shabbos. Why? But why would I, if it's a suffik, why would I not do it on Shabbos?
Because you don't
want to
do something on Shabbos
you
don't have to do, right?
Yeah, there's malacha involved. Yeah. There's a lot of malachas involved in the milah, right? And that's exactly the reason why we make such a big deal by Yom HaFilu B'Shabbos, which we're going to do in 1 second. There is significant, making a chabura, right? Doing a surgery, etc., is a nisa d'oraisa on Shabbos, right? So it's otherwise absolutely usur and nisa d'oraisa to do, so it'd be chilul Shabbos. So if you're not sure if the baby was really born on the 8th day, you can't have a bris on the 8th day because then you're going to find yourself in a situation of chilul Shabbos. Same thing like a bris that's pushed off. Baby's told, the doctor says, oh, the baby could have a bris already starting Saturday. Right. Okay, so the baby has a bris on Sunday, right? You wouldn't do that.
But you would have it on Saturday?
You would not, if it's pushed off, because again, it's not the 8th, only if it's exact. It's a different rule, exactly the 8th day. Shekach amru chazal, katanim ol shmona, letisha la asara, la chadasara, etc. But bottom line is, the Gemara talks about all these different scenarios. A baby can have a bris on the 8th day, sometimes it's the 9th day, sometimes it's the 10th day, sometimes it's the 11th day, etc., etc. And the Gemara explains, kidarko l'shmona, right? A regular birth, the baby's going to have a bris on the 8th day. Nola b'nashmashos b'shayamos hashana l'tisha. Any regular day, But the baby's born Ben Hashmashos. That's it today. If the baby's born today at Ben Hashmashos. So today is Monday, but it's born Ben Hashmashos. We don't know if it's Monday or Tuesday. When's the bris? The next Tuesday, which is could really be nine days later, right? Nola Ben Hashmashos, Erev Shabbos. Nimol Asar, that's 10 days, right? If the baby's born on Friday, Ben Hashmashos, the bris will be a full 2 days later, right? It'll be Sunday instead, et cetera, fine. But the bottom line is, that's what we do. Fine, okay. Interesting, fascinating halacha, okay? Can someone tell me, though, an example of when a mitzvah falls on Shabbos, and Chazal say, I'm not doing that on Shabbos. You do it the next day. Shofar. Fast days, good. Yeah, even, yeah.
Purim,
good. Megillah, what else?
I mean, how intricate, like duchening, you don't duchen on.
So duchening, we will duchen on Shabbos if it's Yantif. We don't sing, though. We don't sing. Lulav. Lulav.
Good one.
Yeah, the reason why we're not, that duchening is a whole different challenge. Because you don't, while you're duchening, you sing, and when they sing, they make a bakasha by bad dreams, which I don't really do.
Yeah.
And you can't say bakashas on Shabbos, so they don't sing.
Say
Avinu Malkeinu. Right. So we push off.
Wait a minute. When I light my Shabbos,
I'm never going to get to my real point.
This is actually.
I know, it's interesting.
When I light my Shabbos candles, I'm not allowed to ask Hashem for things.
You are. You are. Not only are you allowed, you should. You should.
By the time I get you,
it's okay. You're fine. Let's just say. Because you daven for 19 minutes. Wow, it's beautiful. No, I'm kidding. But yes. No, you're. Not only are you allowed to daven, you should daven. I mean, you light candles. Don't worry about it. Okay. Fine. But yes, Megillah, Shofar, Lulav, right, are all mitzvos that we are supposed to do sometimes on Shabbos. And we say, Chazal say, no way, we don't allow it on Shabbos. Right? Look at the Gemara in source number 6. It's Gemara in Megillah. Daftal Amabez. Gemara says, the Kule Alma Miha Megillah Bishabbos Lo Karina. And everybody agrees. We don't read the Megillah on Shabbos. My time, what's the reason? Amar Rabbah. Because Rabbah said the following idea. And this rule will be named after Rabbah. Hakol Chayav Mekriyas Megillah. And notice here also Tekiyah Shofar. Everyone has to read the Megillah, right? Men and women, Tekiyah Shofar also. Ve'ein hakol b'kiyin b'mikra Megillah. But not everyone knows how to read the Megillah. Right? That's definitely true today, right? By the way, Shofar is also true. Gezeira shemi lena b'yado ve'yelich etza baki l'lmot. So what's a person going to do? If a person doesn't know how to read the Megillah, need to hear the Megillah, what are they going
to
do?
He's going to carry it to some expert, to teach
I'm going to bring it to Stu's house, or right? To all the people who know how to learn the Megillah. I'm going to bring it over to their house and ask them to lane it for me because I don't know how. And what's going to happen? Right? Not everyone has a Erev in their city. Right? Not everybody lives in Tinek. Right? And they're going to end up going ahead. And they're going to bring it to someone's house. They not realize that it's Shabbos. And they're going to find themselves carrying Da'al Am Shishas
Rabbin. I did not know that was the reason.
Yeah.
Simply because you're worried about carrying?
Vahanu Taima, the Gemara says, Vahanu Taima de Shofar, Vahanu Taima de Lulav. The Shofar has actually one other reason also, because Shofar is also like a musical instrument. But that is the reason. And by the way, though, for certain, by Lulav and Shofar, we're talking about a mitzvah d'oraisa.
I thought it was because it's like a muksa, because it doesn't have a purpose on Shabbos, so you can't use
the only
it.
Reason, you're right, it is muksa on Shabbos. Why? Now that Chazal told us not to do it on Shabbos, now it has no purpose, and now it becomes a muksa. So a lulav is muksa on Shabbos, but because of the gzera de Rabbah. So Rabbah was so worried. And you're going to say, what do you mean? So one person maybe is making a mistake in all of Klal Yisrael? What's the answer? That's how much we care. Mm-hmm. Just one Shabbos and we'll love you. Right? We care about every single Jew keeping Shabbos. So if it happens to one person, it's going to be Michal Shabbos. So we're that worried. We'd rather have all of Klal Yisrael miss out on lulav and shofar and Megillah. Megillah maybe is... Maybe the Raisa, maybe not the Raisa. But the maybe it's like Divrei Kabbalah. Megillah is up there also, though. And so Chazal say what's called the Gezerah de Rabbah, right? That we don't have Lulav, we don't have Shofar, we don't read the Megillah on Shabbos, even though there's a mitzvah saseh dar Raisa to do these mitzvahs, because we're nervous someone might, better we call Sheva Atasa Adif, better Chazal, or like Chazal have the ability to be Oker, a mitzvah minatar, but Sheva Atasa, to say, don't do it they're allowed to tell us not to do because they're nervous about what might happen. Fine. If that's true, by lulav and shofar. Now we're going to say, why do we have it? Okay, so let's assume that for a second that that's a rule, because we keep that rule. There's one mitzvah that's missing.
Bris mila.
Bris mila. Well, bris mila involves all kinds of stuff. Bris mila, you're going to have to bring the
baby.
No, it's
right? Bris mila, you're going to have to bring the... There's so much. You ever seen a mola show up for a bris? It's got a lot of stuff. Yeah. It's got a lot of stuff. The different knives and the things. And there's all kinds of stuff. Yeah. The clamp. Whatever. You want to see what happens on the other side when this is going on. You don't want to see. There's a lot going on. There's many more utensils that are necessary for yeah, see? Yeah, there, yeah. Yeah, COVID bris. Yeah, COVID bris. So there's a lot that's necessary for a bris. And maybe the mole's not gonna have his thing, and everyone's waiting, and the parents are upset, and I forgot my stuff. He's gonna feel pressure. Right? What might he do? If you wanna give me it's probably the best example, right, of a situation where you can end up with Chilul Shabbos would be a bris mila. And nevertheless, halacha is by Yom HaShemini, by Yom Afilu B'Shabbos.
Well, is it just like you want this baby to be a Jew?
Ah, okay, so. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Okay. Dina's already giving us answers, right? But the question is why? Why don't we have Xavier the Rabbah when it comes to Bris Mila? So, one idea, that's already, we're getting like more Machshava, you know, answer, which I like. But what would be like a technical answer?
Well, one is given to the nation, right? And one's given directly to you.
Okay, interesting.
You have a personal responsibility to circumcise your child.
Your child. I mean, okay.
So maybe you can't push off a personal direct commandment. I don't know.
Okay. You're right. I hear you. Even though each one really becomes our own personal commandment also. We all have a personal responsibility for lulav and shofar and megillah also. But you're right. There are more. Okay.
So.
Good.
Because of the ubayom.
Yeah. What do you mean?
In the other mitzvahs, it doesn't necessarily give that specification.
Good. There's no drusha when it comes to lulav. Or this is what the Ran says. So the Ran says what Lisa said. The Ran in that Gemara says exactly this point. When it comes to Megillah, and lulav and shofar, there's no specific directive from the pasuk. By yom harishon, it's the first day of Sukkot. Afilu b'Shabbos. We don't have any such drusha. No one said that. There's no drasha that says in Chazal that you should specifically pick up a lulav or a shofar or a megillah even on Shabbos. There's only one mitzvah that has that directive, right? And that is the mitzvah of bris mila, where the Torah itself, right, teaches me that it's emphatic, must be on Shabbos, by Yom HaFilu B'Shabbos. Fine, so that's the technical reason, okay? But the question is, why? Why specifically Bris Mila that has this directive specifically? So I just want to show you, take a look in source that has no number.
Wow.
Sorry.
There are really different types of mitzvot.
Yeah?
There are really different types of mitzvot, like shofar, you're doing that annually.
Annually,
shofar,
yes.
You're doing it for a series of days.
Yes.
Annually.
Mila's one. Midoraisa for one day, but yeah. Okay. But yeah.
Bris Mila is one time in the whole lifetime.
Maybe.
I feel like yeah. Very
one time in the whole life for that. Child, yes.
Child.
Yes, correct.
It's very, very different.
Yes, but I could just do it tomorrow.
Right. Wait, also, you can right? use, but also, like, that doesn't really work. Like, you could do a mitzvah that you would only do one time in your lifetime. I can't break Shabbos because it would only happen one time. You want to...
Shiluach
HaKain. I'm just saying, I don't feel like it needs to be tied to... I feel like...
Why should they two
be tied together with these?
I'm just saying, right? But the question is, but the Ron's question is, come on, you're so worried, right? The way we kind of like, huh? Like someone's gonna go to a person who knows how to blow a shofar and bring it to them. Probably the shofar blower has his own shofar. Probably go to his house and he has one there. And most people, the guys who know to lay in the Megillah, they have a Megillah. They can walk to my house. We can work it out, right? Of all the examples, this is like the one where we care about. We probably have the greatest potential for Chilul Shabbos to take place, and nevertheless, Chazal don't care, right? Mm-hmm. So maybe that's why, like, they're not necessarily the same, but you could have, if this is your concern, I'll tell you the number one place to have that concern, you know? Yeah.
So
So when we go to like laws of Yalev Yavo and Ritzei, mm-hmm. like what davenings come first and stuff,
okay.
you would think that the things that happen only once a year right. trump Shabbos.
Okay.
So you would say, you know, Yalev Yavo before Ritzei.
Say, but we don't say that.
But no, we have like the opposite.
Tadir.
Shabbos is actually holier than all Yom Tovim.
Right.
Minus Yom Kippur.
Right.
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 So like maybe there's just like a concept there of like, when you compare Shabbos to Yom Kippur,
Shabbos wins.
Is on a higher
Shabbos
level,
wins.
But maybe when you compare Shabbos to a Bris Milah, like that wins.
Bris Milah somehow wins.
Somehow
right,
wins.
Right, right. Oh. The question, what would be the halachic reason why it would be? Yeah, you're right. It sounds like, according to what the Ron says, the answer is just because it's almost like, again, it's the technical reason, but we want to understand the why the technical reason is true. There happens to only be a drasha specifically for this right. and not for the others. So take a look at the next source. When we do most mitzvos that we do, so we make, it's the one that's just the text of the sitter. Do you not have it?
I don't have that. I'm trying to figure out when
you're
missing.
I deleted it by accident. Okay, just kidding.
The source with no name.
No, yeah, so yeah. You do. You do.
Oh, on yes. the bottom.
Thank you. Gosh, I messed up this one too. Okay, usually when I do a mitzvah, right, so you have one, maybe two brachos. Like, let's say, picking up a little shirk and you're trying to mitzvah, it's Zivano, on a tilas lulav, right? Al mitzvah shofar, al mikra megillah. That's a different question. You're right. And Shechiyanu. We don't, Svardim say Shechiyanu on Bris Milah, Ashkenazim do not say Shechiyanu on Bris Milah, which is interesting why we don't do that. But mitzvah, bracha number one, Shechiyanu shalom mitzvah, it's Zivano, al hamila. I did a good job. I cropped out the Shem Hashem. Fine. So that's it. But Asher Kedishan Mitzvah Zivano Al Hamila. Good. There is a second bracha that we make for a Bris Milah. Okay, what typically happens, mm-hmm. for most of us, who we make the mol our shliach to do the milah, as opposed to some of us who let our husbands do the milah themselves. We should give big props to such wives. But my wife would never let me do that. I didn't even want to try. No mo, I'll show you, whatever. Fine. But in most scenarios, the mo'al makes the bracha shekin yishanim, you make the mo'al your shliach. He makes the bracha shekin yishanim mitzvah, it's vana al hamila. But then the father makes a second bracha.
We all black out before that happens.
Yeah, exactly. So moms are like not paying attention either. Yeah. And some of the dads also, they need me to like cover their eyes and like but then they say a second bracha. Baruch atah Hashem ekinu mechalom, asher kidishanu v'mitzvosu v'tzivanu, lachniso bebriso sha'avram avinu. You commanded us to bring him into the covenant of Abraham, our father. Cool bracha, super cool. It's like very, like it's beautiful, right? Where does that come from?
What's up with that?
Right? What is that? Right, where does that come from? And the father's always like caught up, like he makes the bracha, like, okay, next, you. And the guy's like, what, me, now? Should I say it now? Yeah, now, no, okay. Now, say it now.
Was it like somebody else doing your mitzvah for you de facto? That's what I was trying to say before. It's a mitzvah commanded directly to
you. It's true even if you do it, but it's true even if you make do the bris yourself. You're still going to make the second bracha.
Do you?
Yeah, you're still making the second bracha. Yeah, sorry. But yeah, but it's a good idea. But you're going to make the bracha yourself. Fine. So the base, and this second idea, I heard Rabbi Ezra Wiener share this with me. Like first, when I was like teaching in TABC, I found him on Thursday. We were talking about the parsha. He told me this beautiful idea. So he noted the following. Source number 7: the Beis Yosef in Hilchos Mila. The Beis Yosef is where Yosef Karo, before Yosef Karo wrote the Shulchan Aruch, living in the 1500s in Tzfat. So he first decided to write a commentary on the Tur. The Tur, right, was the first one to. We talked about the Tur once, right? The Rashi's son and how he was originally from Ashkenazic lands and comes to live in Sephardic lands, so he knows both the Ashkenazim and the Sephardim, and he puts together this book called The Tur, the first time anybody codified halacha in specific headings, in specific topics. And then the Beis Yosef writes a commentary on the Tur. And later on he writes the Shulchan Aruch. Before that, so the Beis Yosef is where he has much more information before he makes it more concise into the Shulchan Aruch. And the Beis Yosef raises the following question. Three lines down at the end of the line where it's bolded. V'hagos maimini. He's quoting the Hagos maimini. Kasvu. B'shem Rabbeinu Simcha. The name of Rabbeinu Simcha. I don't know Rabbeinu Simcha is. Right? The name of Rabbeinu Simcha. Lo yadati mativ birchas lahachniso. Because I don't understand what kind of bracha this is. I never heard of such a thing. V'chilo sagi b'hai, shlo shlucho mevarech al hamila. Is it not enough? Your shliach makes the bracha al hamila. That's enough. I need a second bracha? What do you need a second bracha for? And by the way, any extra bracha, we always have to ask the question, what do I need it? Otherwise, it's a bracha batala. So we're not so simple.
Who said to make that extra bracha?
It says in the Gemara. Oh, it's just a bracha. But where does this come from? Where do you have such a thing? So you said, V'shema, Shema, Kevan, Shah, Moel, Baloha, Av, Shaykh, B'mitzvah, Samila. Right? So maybe the Moel's doing it without the father, and therefore it's underlined. Hilkach, Takinu, Le, Rabbanan, Bracha, Cheres, La'av. Like exactly what, Jen, like you said. The father needs his own. Right? V'imalu, Ha'av, V'barech, L'achniso, Sagile, Bahachi. So they want to say even exactly what Jenny said. Maybe if the father does the meal himself, he doesn't need the second bracha. And we're just doing it himself. Mihu kevan de kvarta kidin lamoha lavarich alamila lo yishane hamabeya mevarich shtayim. So meaning, the bottom line is you do make both. But maybe what really happened here was, what happens in most cases? Most cases the father is not the moel. You have a moel. There's always that way. It's not like it used to be father's always the first feeling. There's always a moel. So it used to be, so it's always, you made the second bracha for the father so he doesn't like, because he needs his own berachas mitzvah, sort of. Okay, that's one possibility. However, Katzas HaRav David Avudraham. The Avudraham gives a different answer. And he writes, Bracha zu nitkana yivnei sha'av mitzuva abano lamulo. The father is commanded to give his son a bris milah. By the way, his mother also has the chiv. There's no father. Will if so, and give him a ben if he needs it. Vilalamdo Torah, to teach him Torah. Vilasiyo isha, have him to get married. Lirmos shemehayom va'elech mutalos alav mitzvos elo. To teach us, to show us that from this point forward, the mitzvah of chinuch has begun. Okay? By the way, you notice what's there? That's like, that's the, bless you. That's the bracha of the beginning, right? We say, you should be zocha legalo, the Torah, the chuppah, the masan Torah, right? Right? This is right. So that's right here. So there's a mitzvah on the parents now to teach this child, and it begins right now. And therefore, says the Avudraham, so what do? So good. Oh, get the Shabbos and say
that you're going
to
be.
So what's the? So let's get to the bracha and we're going to get the Shabbos. Yeah, good. No, you're right. You're good.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Why? Started the tradition of chinuch, like set the state and like it's not following the steps.
Okay.
Monotheism into the world, like that makes.
So what's the goal? So what's the purpose of the bracha according to the Avudraham? What am I making this bracha for?
Tie the parent into the mitzvah.
Before
the parent does all these mitzvahs.
But then he's now responsible.
So the father says the bracha always. The father says it's always.
If the father is also the mole, he makes both brachos.
Okay, yeah. But even if the father is not the mole, he makes the second bracha. And what's the purpose of this bracha? Says Avudraham, it's sort of like a liftoff. Mm-hmm. Right. This is the beginning of chinuch for this child.
Yeah.
And the father makes a bracha on what?
The mitzvah.
Sort of.
Right, but that's bizarre. Because that's not a one-time act. That's an ongoing thing for the next, 80 years.
It's a little more violent type of starting point.
It's almost like a public declaration.
Which, by the way, we do, I think, just interestingly, I didn't think about this, we do at the end also. The bar mitzvah, what bracha does the father make? The father makes a bracha at the bar mitzvah saying, I'm done. I don't think they make a bracha for Chinese for girls. Yeah, you're right.
No,
why not? It's a good question.
I don't think my husband said that. Oh,
for your son?
Boy,
he did.
He did.
You guys are doing this, it means I did something right. But stay here. Stay with me.
Come on, I'm sure he did. For sure he did.
Okay. So the answer is, he did. You said you made it quietly. Made it quietly. You didn't hear. Whatever. Fine. And if you didn't make a bracha shabbatrani, it's okay. You're not still carrying your child's avera. So you're fine. But the point is, says the Avudraham, right? That the goal, right? The goal of this mitzvah, of this bracha, is the kickoff to all of the chinuch we will do for our child all the way going forward. And therefore, argued Rabbi Wiener made this connection, which I thought was very beautiful. Maybe that's the pshat, or maybe that's why, of all mitzvos, which mitzvah cannot be delayed, no matter, again, it can be delayed, technically, but if it's B'yom HaShemini, and we know it's B'yom HaShemini, following the din, that it would be on Afilu B'Shabbos. Afilu B'Shabbos, it cannot wait the next day. Just do it Sunday. Be nicer, it'd be much easier, right? Everyone would be happier. Mom will for sure be happier, just better, right? Why not? Because this is the kickoff to Chinuch. And it can't be delayed even one day. It starts immediately. And doesn't stop.
Okay, beautiful idea.
Thank you, Ezra Lina.
Ezra Lina.
That was a beautiful report.
And Rabbi Cohen for remembering it. Because it was years ago.
But
I'm gonna hold it in.
Why?
Go through everything.
No, it's okay. We're out of time, so I don't have time for my second. I said, what?
No, we have time.
The second vort, the last vort. So I'm just gonna tell you outside. You can read it inside later. One last beautiful point, which I think is related to this. I think it's related. It's a different vort, but it's related. Is Rabbi Golden brings another idea in this week's parsha, which is that the korban that a woman brings, she brings two korbanos when she has a baby. An Ola and a Chatas. Back to the Chatas. This is three times in a row we're talking about the Korban Chatas. Korban and Chatas. And typically, you bring a Chatas first, I think, right? Whenever you have an Ola and a Chatas, right, you always bring the Chatas before the Ola. Why? Because Chatas is, as we talked about before, is a sin offering for the past, and an Ola is about the future. Except for a Yoledes, a woman has a baby. In fact, actually, it's not even true. In real life, they actually bring the chatas first and the ola second, like usual. But in the Torah, it's swapped. Okay? Ola first, chatas second. Why? Shabbat Golden, this is a very beautiful drush on why that is. He says because the korban chatas is not for the past, in this case, after having a child. It's for the future. Why? Because when you first have a baby, right? So cute. My baby's screaming. But if it's not, hopefully it's like, right? It's like exciting. We're crying. I told my kids last night, one of my kids was asking about like crying. I don't like cry from being happy. I said, I never ever cried in my whole life for being happy. I'm a guy. I never cried being happy until I had a baby. It's the first time I ever cried from happiness, right? And like, you first have a baby, it's like so exciting and it's great. And then, as we know, it gets really hard. It gets really hard. They get hard as a newborn, and they're hard as they're two, and then they're hard when they're seven, they're hard when they're 17, and they're hard when they're 27. And it's hard. It's hard. And Rabbi Golden argues like we may over time, right, as parents, we lose that sense of appreciation of how special it is. So he says chatas because
apologizing.
Yeah,
yes.
We're giving ourselves like a heads up. Yes. Like it's gonna be hard, and you're gonna say like you know that book What to Expect. But then there's the better one, is What to Expect Once the Baby's Born Already, and so one of my children. Cried all night for 6 months. Okay, so we would carry him or her around for 2 hours at a time. 2 hours at a time, we would. She knows that was her. We would carry her around for two. We were in Washington Heights. We had a very small apartment, and I would carry her for 2 hours, walking around, crying. We put her in the shower with the water. Nothing worked, and then we'd switch. Right, and then I read in What to Expect the early years. It said, you know, the parents ask. You know, one of the parents asked was, is it normal that at 3 in the morning I feel like throwing my baby at the window? So sad. Literally. So sad. I was like, oh.
You're like,
I'm a normal person. I'm normal. That's great, right? It's hard. It's hard, right? And we feel frustrated and annoyed and furious. And we're like, I don't know. Like, this one's easy. That one, maybe we like see in a few years, right? And so Rabbi Golden argues, we bring the chatas second as a reminder that, you know, We're gonna feel that way,
but
and
the
it's
woman
okay.
Has to bring it,
yes.
But the man makes the bracha.
Lachis shav ravino. Yeah, that's not fair.
Yeah.
Well, maybe I would argue that each one they both need a reminder.
They're different reminders.
They're different types of reminders, but they're both being reminded of that long arc of chinuch that we are expected to do. I'm going to end it with one last piece.
For the woman, I feel like it's a negative. You're going to teach the Torah. You're going to get married.
She's the one
She's going to have the harder part. She's going to have the harder stuff. You're right. It's true, because
so
the mom gets the harder stuff.
So we're protecting her.
I don't know.
We're looking out in her best interest.
We're saying we see you.
I'll tell you one last thing to close it off.
We see your future.
You may like it or not like it. One last thing, okay? I mean, really likes to point out. He likes to point out source number 9. First time in Amit says, Vayivarech Osem Elohim Vayom Elohim Elohim Pruvum Los Aretz. The language is not the right language. What should the pasuk say? Source number 9, what should it say? Vayitzave Osam Elohim. Hashem commanded them. Pruvum Los Aretz. It doesn't say that. It says Vayivarech Osem. Rabbi Willis likes to say this when he talks about the challenges of fertility. Infertility. And he likes to talk about that we sometimes forget, right? And most of us don't forget. That the ability to have children is a bracha, and not a bracha that everyone has. And when we remember that it's a bracha, and it's something that, right, not everyone has the opportunity, as many times as they want, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So many challenges that come in this area. So he says, it reminds us both of these points, right? That when we feel that challenge of parenting, we feel the struggle and the pain and the difficulty, which is real, exists in parenting, we remind ourselves by Yevarach Hashem Elokim. It's not stam. If we have the opportunity, we have the opportunity. So, our reminders about the long arc of parenting, and maybe the reminders that Chazal or the Torah give us as we head out in that direction. And if you like it, great. If you don't like it, that's okay.
No. 3 weeks ago, a Mishulach knocked at my door. He was